Good morning, everybody. Welcome to True Memorial this morning. Everybody happy to be here? What a beautiful weekend we've been having. A little gray today, but yesterday was beautiful. Let's stand and worship together. Our first song this morning is "O Come to the Altar." Are you hurt? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Are we telling people about the treasure we found? I know sometimes in today's society that's kind of hard to do, and everyone takes a risk doing so, but we're supposed to be sharing about the treasure of the salvation that we have.
Amen. 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 Scripture reading this morning, amen, is found in Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9, two verses. First two verses go like this. I will praise you, O Lord. Amen. We were born to praise the Lord. We are His glory. Amen. For I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Amen. I will tell of all your wonders. Amen. Nothing like a testimony. You know that? A testimony of the goodness of God. You'd be surprised what it does to people when you testify about what the Lord has done for you and how good He is. You don't realize it so much. You know that? Praise God. But we are the glory of God. I'm so glad to be part, amen, of that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here. I thank you every morning. I get up, Lord Jesus, and say, this is a day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord Jesus. I only have one shot at this day today, Lord. I want you to be glorified from within my life. Bless the day, even this day before us today, as we are the glory of you, Lord Jesus, the glory of God. Let our praise and our worship, Lord Jesus, just be glorifying to you today. Touch those that are watching via the internet today, Lord Jesus. Touch our hearts. Father, as we open them up before you in praise and worship, our hearts as we have read from your word, Lord Jesus, let our hearts be open to worship you today. Leave different than we came by the power of your name. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be saved. All that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be saved. For all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Celebrated that last weekend, didn't we, on Easter Sunday, what he did for us. Give Al a second to switch over to his banjo. Yeah. It's a good old classic. There's power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Be free from your passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
You may be seated.
All right, you guys wound up the conservative Baptist here. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and praising his name. And you'll notice at this time in our service, we're going to be going to a season of prayer for one another, with one another. And it is good for God's people to come together to praise his name, and it is necessary for God's people to come together upholding one another in intercessory prayer before the throne of grace. And that's what we're going to do right now. Before we do that, if I could just share with you very quickly a text of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, reads like this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God will guard your hearts. Let's pray for each other today. I have got pen in hand. Let me tell you how we're going to do this. If you have any particular request that you'd like for the church family to be holding up before the throne of grace in Jesus' name, let's share those things with each other today. And also be paying very careful attention to the prayer requests that are shared, because one of the things I'm going to do also is to ask somebody here in the congregation to pray for that request, rather than just having me pray for everything. And I will do that also. But I would like for us to share with one another the requests and the prayer burden that we bring each other before the throne of grace. Follow up with each other during the course of the week as the Spirit of God puts that person, that request on your mind, on your heart. Pray for them. So with that being said, I've got my pen ready to go. And who and what can we pray for today? Tracy, start us off, dear.
Up not having to have the biopsy. She was supposed to go to Boston and have that done, but they reassessed and said, well, you know what? We don't really think you need to go through all of that. We don't think it's that bad. So we're just going to check on you in another little few months and you should be fine. We don't think it's anything to worry about. So she doesn't have to get that done, which she was very nervous about. And my mom and brother still need a place to live.
All right. So mom and brother still searching for a place to live. Alrighty. Housing. Alrighty. Did everybody hear that? Everybody hear that? Alrighty. Let's pray for Tracy's family today. Okay? Number one, praise the Lord with regards to the biopsy that was not needed for her sister, but mom and brother still need some place to live. We all need some place to live, don't we? They need some place to live. Who wants to pray for them today? Don't make me pick you out of the crowd, okay? Deb, you want to pray for them, dear? All righty.
Dear Lord, we do pray for Tracy's family. We pray for the living arrangements. We know that you have it in your hand. We know that you care for all these needs. Lord, we praise you that you will find that perfect place for them and they will be settled and have peace in their hearts. And Lord, that they would recognize you in helping them to find that place. And Lord, I ask that you would just guide them to that perfect place for them, that location that will work for an extended period of time. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And Lord, we praise you again for the positive things for her sister, Lord, and the encouragement that that is to the family as a whole.
Yes, Lord.
And we just thank you that you've given her that peace, that you've given her that ability to be home with her little one and letting it grow some more, and that she not have to travel back and forth and all those other things, Lord. And we just thank you that you've got your hand on each one of them. And Lord, we just continually praise you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Who else do we need to pray for? John, upstairs. Really? That happened this morning, correct, John? Yeah. This would be Lauren's mother-in-law. Okay? Lauren is John and Sue's daughter. Lauren's mother-in-law. All right. Let's pray together. Lord, we bring before you the Wiles family today, especially at the news of the happenings of this day, the loss of a treasured family member. Lord, our hearts go out to them. Lord, our hearts go out to Michael and to Lauren and to all the family members. Oh, Lord, I just pray that your all-sufficient, your amazing grace would be showered upon them this day and this hour. Lord, we pray an added measure. Give them an extra measure of your grace today, we pray. Surround them with the knowledge of your presence and your precious promises to them. Lord, I know that she is one who called upon your name. Lord, I pray that in the midst of the heavy hearts and the tears today, that they would be reminded of the promises from your word that a precious child of yours has now entered into her eternal home. And Lord, even in the midst of the grief, I pray also that there would be the sense of joy. Father, come alongside this family today. May they be found in your all-compassionate arms. And Lord, I pray grace upon grace for them today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Who else can we pray for today? We got a lot of prayers. Jenny, you go first here. We're going to let Jerry go first. Then we're going to go down to Jenny afterwards. Jerry, what can we pray for?
Yes, I would like to ask prayers for my oldest grandson's wife, Haley McDougal. Last summer, she was expecting and had a rare blood disorder that her blood attacked the growing fetus as something foreign, and the baby died. She's now expecting again this year, due in, I think, July. She goes to Boston twice a week. She has a blood infusion one day. They go check on her the Friday, and they've been giving the baby a blood transfusion. They want to take the baby early, about week 35, and put it in an intensive care unit. But all things so far this summer have been positive. The heartbeat of the baby is good. The ultrasounds are all positive. So I pray for that little thing every night, and I'd like some prayer as well. Thank you.
All right, Jerry, thank you. All right, did everybody hear this? We're praying for Haley today. And in her previous pregnancy, she lost a child. There was an issue with blood. She's with child again. And obviously, this is of great concern to the family. And they are doing all that they can to make sure that this does not repeat itself. So we're praying for Haley. We're praying for the child and for the safe delivery. And praise the Lord for, you know, gifted physicians and those who have, those that the Lord has given gifts to and knowledge to be a blessing to us. But we're praying for Haley and Haley's baby this morning. All right, do we all get that okay? Paul, you want to bring that one before the throne of grace for us?
Lord, we bring Haley to you this morning, Lord, something that's near and dear to my heart. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to put your hands around that little baby. Guide him through to completion in this pregnancy, Lord. Let him be healthy 100%. Whatever this blood issue is, Lord God, I ask you, Jesus, to just clear it up and let them stand there astounded, the doctors stand there astounded, not knowing how that happened. I know you can do it, Lord. And I ask you to just encourage the parents and the grandparents that this baby's going to be okay. In Jesus' name, cover the baby with your blood, Lord Jesus. It'll be perfect. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Jenny, right back here.
I'm just asking for prayer this morning. We spent all day yesterday in the hospital with Jim. He cannot walk at this point. I am his primary caregiver, and I'm having a tough time. So I am coveting the prayers of my family this morning. Thank you.
All right. All right. tonight. We need to pray for Jenny and for Jim. You heard the request. Let's keep our sister and our dear husband before the throne of grace today. Who's going to pray for them this hour? Who can pray for them? Ron, you want to pray for the Weeks family?
Father, we just lift up Jim to you this morning. Lord, he's in the hospital and not able to walk. Lord, we just pray you'd give him your strength, Lord. Give him your rest. Give the doctors wisdom in his care. And be with Jenny also. Lord, just give her your hope, the hope and peace that can only come from you, your strength, Lord. Just pray you would help in this situation. Give the doctors wisdom in his care. Lord, just draw him near to yourself. Give his heart the assurance and the rest of looking to you. Lord, may you be glorified in this time. Lord, just bring your strength and your peace and comfort, Lord. May our prayers bring peace to their lives and their hearts. Lord, we just lift them both up to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. All right, folks.
A couple of weeks ago, I had a customer that was buying for her great-grandchildren Easter. And during the course of things, she said that she was 90. And she started to well up with tears. And she says, I don't really know whether they care if I buy these things for them anymore. And I really don't know whether anybody cares about me anymore. And I said, well, God does, and you would not be here if he didn't have a reason for you being here. So I just said, you are a blessing to your family, whether they let you know or not. So please don't think that you're worn out. And she, you know, went on her way, and I've been praying for her as well.
Amen. Did she give you a first name by any chance?
No.
Alrighty. And you want to pray for this 90-year-old lady who
absolutely
needs to see her value.
Lord, we don't know where she stands with you, Father. We don't know if she's born again or not. We do know that she is concerned about some issues that are frequently of an internal nature, and we pray that Patrice will have opportunity and other believers who work there at Hobby Lobby will have opportunity to be bold for you, and that you will bring people into this dear woman's life who know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, folks, for praying today. We have one more? All right. Let's do one. We got one more to go. All righty. All right, Mary. What is it we can pray for you today, dear?
Thank you. This is a prayer request for my son, Daniel. He's in Mexico with his girlfriend, and with all the tragedies that have been happening to Americans in Mexico, I would just like to pray a prayer of protection upon him and his girlfriend. She's from Mexico, so it's not like he's in a resort that's, you know, pretty much protected from the outside world of Mexico. He's in Mexico City with her family, and he says it's a, you know, pretty safe area, and it's a well-to-do area and everything, but I'd just like to pray for his protection.
All right, for Daniel, Daniel's girlfriend. All righty. Who can pray for this today? Who'd like to pray? Who'd like to pray? All right. Jenny?
That you would protect them, put a hedge around them, and keep them safe, and help them to make wise choices as far as where they go and who they're around. Father, I pray that you would just help them to see your hand and to see your hedge of protection around them. Father, I thank you for your love for them and for your love for each one of us. Father, make us wise in our choices and in those we encounter each day. be especially with us and give us eyes to see. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Keep that list before you this week. Pray for those individuals we mentioned today, those requests. Let's keep them before the Lord. We're going to do this again. But right now, would you find your hymnal with me? Let's go to number 220 together. It's a great hymn with regards to, it's another one of our resurrection hymns. Last week we were singing about how he has risen indeed. Did you know that today, 2,000 years hence, he is still alive? He lives today, and this one is coming back again. It's 220 in your hymn. We'll find it with me. Let's sing together. Let's worship.
Amen. Amen. You know, the last few minutes has been a demonstration of there's strength in the body. There's strength in the body of Christ. You know that? Amen. And I tell you, take it to heart, every prayer request that's been made today. You know that? Amen. Let's all stand and sing, Amen. He lives. Amen. How many know he lives? Amen. He lives. Let's sing it together. Come on. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to him all. You ask me I hear an amen.
Amen.
That's good. You may be seated. Huh?
That was a great, great Homer Roadheaver song. We sing his songs quite often, actually. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time, and we're going to continue worshiping our great Lord and King. His name is Jesus the Christ. We're going to do so now in the bringing forth of our gifts. We will worship him as families. We will worship him corporately as a church. As the offering plate comes before you and your family, deposit your gift of worship in there. Thank your Lord. Give him the glory. Oh Lord, I thank you that we have been found this day in this house of worship, this house of song, and this house of prayer. Lord, my prayer now is that you would receive the gifts that we're going to present to you, Lord. We're going to do so with a heart of overflowing thanksgiving. Lord, you have blessed us so. We are so richly abundant in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have much. But that which is our very most precious possession of all is the person of Christ, life in his name. So Lord, it is with thankful hearts that our gifts are presented before you. Receive them to the glory of your name. Receive them the joy that we give to you. Receive them, O Lord, from thankful hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Children? Here we go. Here they come. I just had to grease the wheels a little bit. That was it. Thank you, children. And to junior church they go. All righty. Hey, folks, we've had a little break from our friend Joseph for a few weeks now, as we've had opportunity to celebrate Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. Let's make our way back to the book of Genesis this morning. The book of Genesis in chapter 42. I have a few slides I want to show you in just a moment, so let me bring them up so I can see what I'm showing you here. And we're on. Hey, let's pray together, and then we'll meet with each other in Genesis chapter 42. We'll go down a few verses today. We'll see what the Lord has planned and prepared for us. Let's pray. Lord, for the opportunity now that we have to draw into your word, the holy word of God. Oh, Lord, thank you for the sacred text. The text that reveals who you are and what you would have for us to know and to do as a result of being found within its pages today. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has preserved for our reading, our recollection, and our knowledge, ancient stories, old, old stories, yet how very relevant they are today. They speak to our hearts as if the events unfolded just yesterday. Lord, I pray that we would see you more clearly in your word. Lord, give to us understanding and discernment in the sacred text. And Lord, I just pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would do a work within us, even now, even at this time. Lord, may we be blessed because we have drawn near to you in your word. I pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes a trip to the grocery store or the department store might be a little more than we bargained for. Maybe next time you head in that direction, you'll see something that you had not anticipated seeing, something that caught your attention. I'll show you here in a second exactly what I'm getting at. Sometimes there are some images that are shopping faux pas, or something that will just make you do a double take or shake your head in disbelief. Like maybe this one, for example. We'll call this one for those who just need a little extra help. Okay. In case it wasn't obvious to you. Alrighty. And then you move to the next aisle, and well, this is a sale you just can't pass up. Okay. Maybe you need one of those. And let me tell you, at this store, these guys go above and beyond. Okay. I wonder if they're open 30 hours a day, too. Who knows, right? Oh, and I asked, for this one, I asked the question, what kind of baby aisle is this? All right. I'll let you figure that one out. This next one, they promised me it would float. Okay. There you go. All right. Takes you a little while to get it sometimes. That's okay. And I don't know about you, but I love grapeless grapes. Huh? Have you ever had any of those? Grapeless. And then, apparently all my life, I was wrong. How can you pass up a sale like that, right? Help me complete this sentence, if you will. When life gives you lemons, you can make something else with it too, you know. I was unaware of this. Alrighty. Next, Next month, ladies, it's Mother's Day. All right? Get ready for this one, moms. Have you ever gotten toilet gel for Mother's Day before? Actually, I've never heard of toilet gel, but... help me with this one, okay? The next time you go to Target, would you please let me know what I'm supposed to do? I don't know. What kind of medical advice is this? All right. All right. And I don't know about you, but I like to get my ice when it's really hot out. When it's really hot. I love hot ice. Okay. And then for those romantic nights at home when it's dinner for just the two of you. Okay. Yeah. I think this is why I have trust issues. Okay? I don't know. And of course, you always have to head to the diet and fitness section. Okay? Or maybe this one. All right. That's my kind of fitness section, right? All right. And for the next one, this guy has got just one job to do. Just one job. Do it right. Okay? And then obviously they let him loose in the fruit aisle too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think they need to do a little more training with him. All right? And of course, you got your liquid breakfast section. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go shopping, I don't like to be threatened, okay? Have you ever noticed how just one letter makes all the difference in the world? And then for the last one, I asked the question, what are these guys doing on Valentine's Day? All right. All right. Here we go. Let's move on. We can cut the other slides, gentlemen. Sometimes the trip to the grocery store may have some surprises planned for you. We're going to the grocery store this morning. Genesis chapter 42. Join me in the text, if you will. Let's follow for a while Joseph's brothers as they had to pick up some groceries in this morning's text of Scripture. We know already that there is a famine that has struck the land. The pantry shelves are beginning to run a little bit thin. Last time we were with our friend Joseph, prior to Palm Sunday and the Resurrection Sunday, you'll remember that he had just been promoted, he had just been exalted to the governor of all of the land of Egypt. His new position there in the land would entail preparing for the famine. Going through 7 years of plenty. Remember, this was a part of the Pharaoh's dream. There would be 7 years of plenty of prosperity. Joseph was hired and put into a position to set aside some of the plenty each and every year to build up storage facilities, granaries, and to assign people to be in authority over those all throughout the land so that through 7 years of plenty and 7 years of prosperity, they would be able to set aside the necessary groceries, the necessary grain for what would be a subsequent 7 years of famine and of great want. So last time we were with our friend Joseph, we saw him doing this. So he has been setting aside grain for 7 years because the famine was going to come. And the famine would be severe. And we know from the text that it would be so severe that they would even forget what the 7 years of plenty were like. Well, the 7 years of famine comes. People are suffering greatly. But in the country of Egypt, there is food. There is grain to be had there. And it was because of God's hand on Joseph that the Egyptians had been forewarned that this was going to come and to prepare them for it. And this would happen under Joseph's leadership. Now, starving people are beginning to come in from other lands and other countries also. We'll see that in just a moment. And now beginning in chapter 42, what we see going on here is the camera is going to pan from Egypt, where all the activity has been to this point. The camera will now pan north, and it's going to focus on the land of Canaan for a few verses. And that's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to go back to Joseph's family in the land of Canaan, the land of Joseph's childhood. And today's narrative is going to find Joseph's brothers, Joseph's family, heading to the grocery store, in a sense, if you will. Genesis chapter 42, verse 1. Let's pick up with the storyline from whence we left off last time. It says, when Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, behold, I've heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die. So Joseph's father, his brothers, they're still alive, but they're probably not doing so well in a sense that their homeland is being devastated by this famine. The shelves in the pantry are starting to get lower and lower. And during this time, from what we read in the text, Jacob hears news that there is actually grain in Egypt to be purchased. And we need to fill up the pantry shelves, he tells his boys. So he says to them, why are you guys just sitting around here looking at each other? Can't you just hear the old fellow now? Jacob is over 100 years old at this time. We know this because he is born to his father, from his father Isaac. Isaac is 60 years old when Jacob is born. Isaac will die when he's 180 years old. So there's 120 years in that span. Jacob is in his upper years at this time, probably well over 100 years old. And you've probably noticed that as we get older, sometimes patience has a way of giving in to pontification, okay? Why are you guys just sitting here twiddling your thumbs? Can't you see we need food? Can't you see the pantry is emptying out? The cisterns have dried up. The crops have withered. The land is barren. We haven't had rain for months now. The pantry is emptying out. I understand there's food in Egypt. Why are you guys just sitting here twiddling your thumbs? Get down there and pick up some groceries for us. So Jacob sends his boys off to the grocery store. Now, be mindful of this, okay? The grocery store isn't just a quick little half-hour jaunt. Have you ever gone to the grocery store just for a quick pickup? You just need a few things. You'll be back in a half an hour, okay? This grocery store is some 250 to 300 miles away. They're not going to be back in a half an hour. Matter of fact, they won't be back for 5 to 6 weeks. That's just a little bit of the context there. Jacob will send them on their way, all except for his youngest boy, Benjamin. He keeps Benjamin home with him. You see, Benjamin is the lone remaining child of Jacob's favored wife, Rachel. Verse 3, let's pick up the storyline. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy amongst the others who came, for the famine in the land of Canaan was great. Jacob fears that something might happen to his son Benjamin. Maybe there might be some nefarious characters on the travel down to Egypt. He might have feared something with them. He might have also feared, possibly, his own sons. You got to believe that Jacob did not forget about Joseph. We'll read later on in the text how he continues to grieve because of what had happened to Joseph. So does he not trust characters who they might run across on the way down to Egypt? Or is he a little suspicious even of his own sons that something might happen to Benjamin? He sends them off on their way to the grocery store. He probably knows his own boys better than anybody else. I suspect that's probably the reason why he did not send Benjamin along. One of the things that we do know, getting a little ahead of myself now, but one of the things we do know from Genesis chapter 49 is that prior to Jacob's own death, when he speaks final words to his boys in Genesis chapter 49, and he kind of gives a little description of who they are and their character and what they're like, he will call Reuben unstable as water. He will call Simeon and Levi violent, angry, fierce, and cruel men. All to say, Jacob knew exactly who his boys were. He knew them all too well. He knew their character. It was well known to this aging father. And I suspect that he did not want any harm to come to Benjamin at the hands of his other sons. Now, before we head off to the grocery store, remember with me, if you will. Up to this point, Jacob has been led to believe by his conniving sons, he has been led to believe that his son Joseph is dead, that he perished long ago. He has been led to believe this, but they, the rest of the brothers who knew the truth, who knew what had happened to Joseph, they do not know his current whereabouts. They have no clue as to what happened to Joseph after he departed from them 20 years previous. After they park their donkeys at the grocery store, boy, they're going to have a surprise waiting for them in aisle one. All right? Remember the storyline as we make our way through the text here. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. Remember that? We know that from back from Genesis chapter 42. We also know that by the time he rises to power and authority in Egypt, he's 30 years old. So we have the passing of 13 years now. Now add to that the number 7, because we had 7 years of, remember the first part of Pharaoh's dream? 7 years of plenty. So 13 years he was in Egypt. He's now governor over the land, 7 years of plenty. So now we have actually 20 or more years that have passed since the last time they saw Joseph. Actually, probably 21 or 22 years. I don't know if that's helpful to you, but it helps to build up the context of the storyline and what's going on here. So Jacob instructs his boys to get going, to head to Egypt, need to pick up some groceries. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch, back in Egypt, the camera now swings from the land of Canaan, Hebron, back down south into Egypt, where the storyline has been from the beginning. Alrighty? Joseph doesn't know anything about his brothers coming to him. Please remember, he hasn't seen the Joseph movie, okay? He doesn't know what's coming next. I'd like to believe that in the time that he was down there, in the years that he was down there, he probably wondered about his family, how they were doing. I wonder if Dad is still alive. I wonder if any of the brothers are still alive. I wonder how they're doing. I wonder how the famine is affecting them. I wonder if they're going through hard times. Has the famine taken a toll on them? And now it's going to set this stage for what is one of the absolutely, probably the most remarkable, dramatic stories that we read in Scripture. And to this day, this story touches the chords of great emotion in audiences all over who read this storyline and have these scenes in their minds, the scenes that have been produced in live theater productions of Joseph's life. Verse 5, look at the text with me again. The sons of Israel came to buy amongst the others who came. So others are traveling there too, for the famine in the land, for there was famine in the land of Canaan. Verse 6, now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came, and they bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers, and the Bible says, and he recognized them. Can you just imagine what that scene must have looked like? Let your minds imagine this with me, if you will. All 10 older sons of Jacob now appear. Here they are. They appear before Joseph. And there they are. There's Reuben, and there's Simeon. There's Levi, and there's Judah. There's Issachar and Zebulun. There's Gad. There's Asher, and there's Dan, and there's Naphtali. And they are ushered into the presence of the prime minister of Egypt. Can you just see this happening in your mind's eye? The surroundings must have been awesome to these country bumpkins from Canaan. Now they stand before the prime minister of the land. And here is this man of an immense authority, of incredible wealth. He is the one who controls the world's food supply. And they are now before him. He is the one who holds the power of life and death in his very hands. And we can see how absolutely overwhelmed they are, because the text says they come into his presence and they bow with their faces to the ground. Please keep in mind, they have no clue at this point that this is their brother Joseph. Here he is, this Egyptian, now robed in royalty. He is their long-lost brother. Last time they saw him, they sold him off to a southbound group of traveling Midianite traders for 20 shekels of silver. That was the last time that they saw him. And now they have no clue that they're standing before their brother that they sold into slavery. I say this for several reasons. Number one, the last time they saw him, he was just a teenage boy. Teenage boys change a lot between the time they're 17 and 32 years old. Secondly, Joseph would have been dressed in the garb of the Egyptians at that time. They would have been heavily bearded. Joseph would have been clean-shaven, as the Egyptians were. They would have spoken in their native Hebrew. He would have spoken in Egyptian, though he would not have forgotten his mother tongue. That's sort of an interesting little detail that is given to us. There's an interesting little twist that's going to happen next week when we get back into Genesis chapter 42. And because of that, there's an interpreter in between them, though Joseph understands exactly what they're saying. Thirdly, I would say, though they knew what they had done, to Joseph 20 years before, they could never have imagined that he would now be the governor of the superpower of that area and having arisen to the position that he was in. I wonder if Joseph just peered at them intently, studying them with his eyes, trying to figure out which of them was who, and just taking in the whole thing himself, trying to figure out the identity of his brothers. Yes, these were his brothers. I love scenes like this. I wonder if Joseph had ever imagined that a time like this would ever happen. He knew that the famine was great in the land. He knew that it had stretched north of his borders. He had people coming down from Canaan. There were others who were traveling to come to Egypt to get grain. I wonder if he ever imagined that he would actually see his family again one day. And finally, they stand before him, yet he is unrecognizable to them. And then he'll speak, second part of verse 7. He's going to speak to them sternly, the text says. I don't believe for a moment that this would be an act of vengeance on his behalf. But as we find out a little bit later in the chapter, in the storyline, Joseph has some questions, and he'd like answers to his questions. His questions really dealt largely with his extended family and his father. He wanted to know if Jacob was still alive. All that to say, the Lord is mightily at work in this situation. And that same God is mightily at work in our situation and in our lives today. Several things are unfolding here at this time, right before our very eyes. Number one, the first thing that we see happening here is that God's word is beginning to come to fruition. Or might I say that part of Joseph's dreams. Go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 37. Okay? Genesis chapter 37, when we were first introduced to Joseph at that part of the text, in this part of the storyline, Joseph has some dreams. Oh, they would hate him for these dreams. Genesis 37, look at verse 5. He's a 17-year-old boy. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, these are the ones who are before him now, okay? They hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brother said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And here we are now, some 20, 21, 22 years hence, and Joseph's dream and God's word is proven true. God's word is always proven true. Whether it was Joseph's dreams, whether it was Pharaoh's dreams about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, whether it was the cupbearer's dream, whether it was the baker's dream, God's word is true. And we're seeing the first part now of Joseph's dreams back from Genesis 37 coming to fruition right before our very eyes. We have stated many times, it might very well have been his dreams that kept Joseph going during his times of pain and loss and unjust treatment. Remember, Joseph does not have the Psalms. Joseph does not have the New Testament for sure. Joseph does not have any part of the Old Testament. Old Testament hasn't even been written yet. What does he have? What keeps him going? Well, I would say he certainly would have had oral tradition, the stories told to him by his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham before him. and God's promises to these people, he would have had his dreams, and he would have held on to those things. And now his brothers are bowing down before him. And we see God's word coming to fruition. And God's word is true. God's word is always true. God's word was true 3,800 years ago when these events were unfolding. And God's word is true today. God's word is always true. And it will come to be just as he says in his word. This book is true from cover to cover, in all of its details and everything that it reveals. As I think of this first part of Joseph's dream coming through, true, right before his very eyes, and the truthfulness, the veracity of God's word, that is why we place a very high premium on the careful exposition of the word of God with accuracy, clarity, and practicality. For God has revealed himself to us, and he has made himself known, and it is through his word, his blessed word. So not only do we see God's word being fulfilled in just the opening verses here of Genesis chapter 42, there's also something else going on here. We're going to get into this in the weeks ahead. But there is another huge truth that is a part of this storyline, and it is simply this. God, in his sovereign grace, according to his majestic sovereign plans, is bringing all things, or is causing all things to come to its completion, to come to its fruition, and God's divine purposes are unfolding perfectly. Yes, even in the story of Joseph and his brothers, have you ever discovered that God can use the righteous and the unrighteous, even together, to accomplish his ends? He can, and he does. And he's going to, now in Genesis chapter 42, he's going to use a famine to get Jacob's family down to Egypt where he wants them to be. And he will even use these ends to accomplish his purposes. We know as we move further into the Genesis narrative, it becomes clearer and clearer to us that God's hand is all over this thing. Without getting too far ahead of us here, flip over a page or two in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 45. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Find verse 8 when you get there. Genesis chapter 45, verse 8. And the text here says, "So it was not you who sent," Joseph is speaking, "so it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and ruler over the land of Egypt." It was not you who sent me here, he says, but God. Yes, they were the active agents, don't get me wrong, in their dirty deeds of selling their brother for 20 shekels of silver. They were the active agents in that. God is not the source of evil, but he will work even through the unrighteous hand of the unrighteous. He can even do that. Go over to Genesis chapter 50. We're coming to the latter part of the storyline now, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I just want to show you a huge theme in the Joseph story. Genesis chapter 50, find verse 20 when you get there. Shows you God's sovereign hand. Verse 20 says, "And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You see, we bring in Romans chapter 8, don't we? And the Lord is the one who works good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purposes. Listen to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, I'm looking at verses 16 and 17. If you want to find it, if you want to just sit back and listen, that's fine. Psalm 105 is the recollection of Israel's history. And in verses 16 and 17, the part that recalls the Joseph story, Psalm 105, verse 16 says, "And when he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread," listen, "he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave." All of this is in the purview and the sovereign working of God's choices. Is he the author of evil? By no means. May it never be. But yes, God even can and does use the unrighteous in the working out of his plans. Now, the truth of the matter is that we do not always see clearly when we are in the midst of it, whatever the crisis is. We do not always see clearly at that time, especially when it is painful and we are seemingly hopeless, and times when we feel so very helpless. But the Lord is right there with us also, even in times like that. There are just far too many examples in Scripture that demonstrate this to be true. Genesis chapter 41, 42, he will use a famine as just one example to accomplish his purposes. 2 Kings chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to go very quickly here, just to go through some Bible stories very quickly. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. God is going to use the kidnapping of a young Jewish girl to accomplish his purposes in the life of a fellow by the name of Naaman the leper. God's at work there too. He did not do the kidnapping. He did not cause it. But he will work in that situation. How about the royal beauty contest of the book of Esther? You remember that storyline? God would use that event to save and to preserve his people from total annihilation and extinction. And it would be through that storyline that the line of the Messiah would be preserved. God was at work. God would use the sudden death of the wife of the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 24, verses 15 and following, to communicate his message of warning to a rebellious and stiff-necked Jewish nation. He would even use that. God would use a dream in Daniel chapter 2. God will use a plague in Joel chapter 1. And God would even use a government census in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, to move his Messiah, his son, up from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to be born and to fulfill Scripture. And God's hand is all over it. The psalmist reminds us of this in Psalm 115, verse 3. Listen, he says, "Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases." Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. To which I would have to say today, dear friends, that very same God who is at work in Genesis chapter 42, that very same God is at work today. Same God at work today. Even though you may turn on your evening news tonight or pick up the afternoon newspaper, and all will seem to be like chaos and madness and turmoil in this old broken world in which we live, to which I would say, he is still on the throne. Yes, he is still in control. And yes, his perfect will always be accomplished. Now, you and I might wonder about that from time to time and scratch our heads in amazement or maybe disbelief. But there is simply too much evidence in the Scriptures that our God is sovereign and that he is fully at work even today, even in those times when you and I might not be able to connect all the dots. Joseph would say so himself. Or maybe you're here today and something is happening in your life, circumstances that surround your life. And maybe you're here today and you are being tested and you are being stretched in ways that you have never been stretched before. Dear friend, I want you to depart today with faith and with hope and with confidence that your Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, that you are in the palm of his hands, today we might see as in a mirror dimly. But dear friends, there's a day that is coming when we will see face to face. Until then, you stand firm on his promises, on his character, and on his strength. And I send you out today with these three promises from the Word of God. I would have for you to know this. First of all, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I send you out today with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that his grace is sufficient for all of your needs and concerns. And I send you off today with Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, that with God, all things are possible. And you hold on to those things, dear friends. You remember the Joseph story, God's at work, and you remember that it is not you, it is not your strength, it is not your abilities to do things, it is Christ at work through you. And you always remember the grace that is always, always sufficient for every one of the needs that you bring before him. And no matter how big that thing is that you bring before him, always remember he is bigger still. And with our God, nothing is impossible. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, for the ancient story of your servant Joseph, I thank you, Lord, that you have allocated so much room in your word to preserving this story. May it speak to our hearts today. Within its pages, may we see your sovereign hand and your sovereign care. And Lord, as you worked in the life of your servant Joseph, Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives today. Lord, that you would work in the lives of my friends who are here present today, maybe listening online today. And Lord, they have heard these words and they've heard these promises from the text. Lord, I have no doubt that there is somebody today within earshot of these words, who is being tested and stretched beyond anything they could have ever imagined. Oh Lord, would you draw near to them today? Would you be their hope and their help? Lord, I pray that if a series of events comes to visit us later this month, later this year, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, cause us to recall the truths that we considered today in the message today. Thank you, Lord, that you are the risen one, that you reign on high, you are coming again. Thank you that your word is true. Your promises are faithful. Lord, encourage us this day, I pray, that we would be a people of joy, of gladness, of thanksgiving, and of great, great hope. Lord, would you be our help today? Would you be our strong fortress, our deliverer? Oh, Lord, go with us this day into this very, very unfriendly world in which we live. But, Lord, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you find number 56 in your hymnal? Hymnal one more time, number 56. This little hymn has just a great message to send us on our way today. Find it with me, if you will. And when you have found it, would you please stand? Those of you who are listening in at home, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled Day by Day. Day by Day. It's number 56 in our hymnal. Stand with me. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
our good hope today. Gracious Lord, thank you for time in your house and time with the saints, time in prayer, time in song, and time in your word. Oh Lord, I pray your blessings on this congregation, Father, as they go forth in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Give them your strength, your words, your presence within them. Use them mightily this week, I pray, O Lord. May they be courageous for the cause of Christ. Strengthen them, I pray, O Lord, and may your grace always be sufficient. Lord, dismiss us now with your good blessings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord.